I'm Maureen Ballatore, and this is Spilled Salt, a podcast on the thrills and spills from the food, beverage, and agriculture industries. Today's guest is Kari Stannard. She's the president and CEO of Yes Apples. And if you know me, you know I love a good family business. And so that's exactly what this is. Kari bought the business when it was a sales company from her stepfather years ago, and since then has really made a lot of changes in the direction that the company has gone. So introducing Yes Apples as a consumer-facing brand. And what I love about the direction that today's conversation went is Kari really talks about the importance of building trust, building your audience, building relationships with the growers that Yes Apples is working with, and then some of the other ventures that she has invested in as well. As always, talking about challenges in the industry across the board and some of what's next for Kari. Enjoy the conversation. Hey, Kari, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Thank you for joining me today. I'm going to jump us right in. You have been with Yes Apples for 26 years, but it wasn't always called that. So if you can give us a little bit of the background where it started leading us up to today.
Yes, it's been a windy and a twisty tale, I'd say. So going back, I started actually not in the produce area. My stepfather started dating my mother when I was probably around 10 years old. He owned a apple company. He owned orchards in the east side of New York State, as well as a packing facility in Hudson, New York, and then a sales company. And I worked there during school breaks and that type of thing and said, oh no, packing house is not for me. I'm going to go do something else. So went off to college in Buffalo, met my husband at that point in time too at college, and we decided to move to Atlanta, Georgia. So I worked as a CPA. I got my CPA license, graduating with accounting from University of Buffalo, and it started working down there. And I guess that's kind of where family businesses kind of piqued my interest, because I was an auditor. And I was in a large regional firm, so don't think KPMG or one of those. Mm-hmm. I think it now is a KPMG, been gobbled up. But back then, it was a small local family auditing CPA firm. Anyhow, worked in a lot of small businesses auditing them and got really fascinated by the interworkings of, you know, just small businesses and all the different family businesses that are out there, from making car parts for Saturn, which no longer exists, I don't believe, but for Saturn cars, to you name it. So when my stepfather asked me in 1996, 95, to come into the business, I jumped at it. And my husband, who also is from upstate New York, we decided to move back, started working in the business in the orchards with growers, didn't know a thing about apples, barely knew what a tree was. So just really started working with them and really loved it. Was going around with spray consultants and scouts and you named it. But sadly, in 1998, so just about two and a half years after coming back, he did confide in me that he had cancer, colon cancer, and it was very aggressive. So I purchased the marketing company in 1999. He died in 2000. And then due to estate issues, families, et cetera, we sold off the orchard, sold off the packing facility, but I retained ownership of the sales organization.
And so you're using those terms interchangeably, right? Sales and marketing. You just called it the marketing firm, but
I think what I want to refer to it more, Maureen, is as a sales company back then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Life was a bit simpler.
Mm-hmm.
There were
yeah.
limited packaging. I can remember probably two different packaging. We had apples from New York, and then we had private label Shaw's or private label Hannaford or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And we had limited varieties. So I call it more of a relationship transactional sales company back then than what we're doing today with Yes Apples. So
right.
I'll refer to sales back in the early 2000s.
Yep.
So then when I got into that, I really had to jump right into the day to day. Very little time to breathe. Had to make sure that I strengthened my relationships with what I perceive as my two customers. And that's what I always talk to my team about. It is part of our vision statement is, yes, our vision is to supply high flavored, wonderful textured, high quality, amazing service to our retailers slash consumers, bar none. That's vision, very simple. One could understand that. But our other vision is to provide all those same service, information on food trends rather, pricing to our customer, the grower. Because in the state of New York, I am now a grower, but I wasn't back then. In the state of New York, what we do, well, any state outside of Washington state, there are like 150 million. New York state's 30 million, let's say,
Oh, wow.
is,
I did not realize that the gap was that
yeah, the
great.
gap is that large.
Wow.
So what we have to do to compete is we put all these talented, exceptional growers together, family farms together to get a mass and get size so that we can compete. With that size comes knowledge and comes sharing of data. So we have eight different packing facilities today, and they really collaborate and share information just so we can compete.
And so before you get into more detail on Yes Apples and the shift there from being a sales company to what you are today, elaborate for me a little bit on your relationships with your growers. Because do you still you don't own orchards anymore and you're just sourcing from grower partners?
So no, late after I started. So just to step back, when I started back in the day to day, I also started in building my team. So as I've got this exceptional team that I still have, most of my employees have been with me 15, 20, 20 years. It's a long-standing team. After I was able to do that, then I was able to invest in orchards. So I do have grower partners, and I own about 250 acres in Western New York. But to get size again, we've got to build, because most of our growers have anywhere from 250 to 1,000 acres, right? So those relationships have to be solid, and I believe them to be solid. So I spent a lot of time working with those growers. It's a relationship, right? It's no different than dating your boyfriend. It's getting to know them. It's gaining that trust, and it's years of proving yourself. Honestly. So I do own now two packing facilities, or interest in, not solely out, but interest in two packing facilities, which my partners are growers. And I have three partner growers. So there's four of us who own the 250 acres out in Orleans County.
Okay,
So.
great. All right, get us back on track then for so you made those investments, you're hyper focused on
Yes.
your various cust your two customers as you call it, so to continue us forward there in the timeline.
Yeah, so what we did is, as I built my team, I was able to go out and, like I said, invest in the packing facilities, invest in the orchard. I also invested in a company called Fruit Forward, and that's a group of it's a guy from my office, my vice president of sales. It's growers from the state of New York, and it's also growers from Nova Scotia, Canada. And what that is, that's an IP company, because back when all this was happening, you had the first of the new exciting varieties, which you'll know and hopefully love, of Honeycrisp. And so that was launching, and that was taking the world by stage, and really gaining some real interest in the apple industry itself. And with that came the proliferation of all these other crosses, of Honeycrisp crosses, and you name it. But what we were seeing in the East is that it doesn't matter if you were a breeding company from Belgium, or you were a breeding company for Germany or New Zealand. Wherever you were located, you tended to go to Washington State, because that's where all the bushels were, to do the testing. And so what we did is we said, now, wait a minute, You really need to test in the East because one of our big strengths and why we can compete so mightily against Washington State is that we are so close to the majority of the population in the United States. We are just maybe at most to Florida. If you've got a team, you can easily go overnight. We are fresh. We are local. We are regional. So those are our strengths that we can really, really trade off of and serve us very well and rightly so.
So when you speak to testing, are you referring to testing the plants in the ground to see how they grow?
Yes. So we're taking those varieties, we're planting the trees and we're testing them because our area in New York State is so different than how Washington State, where they get to grow apples, which is a desert.
Right.
But we're very humid and wet and all those fun things that Mother Nature loves to throw our direction. So we get different taste profiles in the same apple. We can get different coloring in the same apple. And bluntly, some things that may work in Washington State may not work here and vice versa.
Right.
So they are smart to test. And of course, we also test and grow those great Cornell varieties, you know, Snapdragon and Ruby Frost.
Yep. So. And are you doing any of the other new ones that have come out of Cornell, Cosmic Crisp or any of those?
Ah, see, Maureen, Washington State, we get you there. That's a Washington State variety, Cosmic.
We can't grow.
That came out of the breeding program in Washington State. So they have that locked up with Washington State growers for, I'm not even sure how many years, but it's at least 10 before we could even grow it.
Ah, I see. So and is that the same for Snapdragon and Ruby Frost? Too, that's a New York State license?
No, actually, they could potentially, and that's not up to me. That's up to Crunch Time Apple Growers Group.
Right.
But
right.
Yes, I believe there's been some discussions with Washington State, but I'm not on that board, so I'm not privy to those discussions.
Sure.
But,
yep. That makes sense.
But a little bit different. But we do grow other great varieties such as Evercrisp and Sweet Tango, two other phenomenal varieties.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too much off on a tangent here, but I do think that it's important to help viewer or listeners understand premium managed apple varieties, which is what you're referring to. And so I worked years ago on Snapdragon and Ruby Frost under Crunch Time Apple Growers.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep, okay, that's
four
right.
or 5 years ago. And so I'm familiar with that concept from that relationship, but previously I hadn't been. It was just a different apple in the store to me as a consumer, right? So can you speak to that a little bit, just defining premium managed apple variety and what that means?
Yeah, there is a difference, and what it's hard to communicate to consumers, but they have to realize is that growers pay royalties to the IP holder, the intellectual property holder. In this case, as we're talking about Snapdragon and Ruby Frost, that's Cornell. So Cornell has put through all this work and time and expertise in crossing these varieties and getting this flavor and then providing for us to grow them. But it comes at a cost. And it can range for every new premium managed variety has a different royalty structure. So I won't get into any of the details.
Yeah.
There.
Yep.
But yes, it is different than what we call an open release, like, like a Honeycrisp was an open release.
Right. Yep.
Along those lines.
Great.
For sure. Okay. Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. So orchards, packing facilities, you're continuing to grow the organization.
Fruit Forward continue to grow. It was at this point in time that I just want to put a plug to all those women owners out there who may be listening. The other thing that I did that was so important was I went out and tried to do something for myself. I said, I need some leadership skills here as well. So I was class 12 of the United Leadership Program through United Fresh. And it was at that point that not only did I learn a lot through their programs, but it was the first year that they had the most women at any given time, years previous that, so 11 down to one. The first year, they might have had one or two women. In my year, we had five, including myself. These women, I literally just spent the weekend with last weekend, Catching up, you have to build that sound base. You have to build that cocoon of trust of who you can go to and who you can say, is this a crazy idea? Should I not be doing this? What do you know
Totally.
about, what is their reputation? Should they be trusted? It's just so important. So I just wanted to put a plug not only for that program. It's a great program. There's other great programs out there to be found, but definitely find your people.
Find your
It's
people.
so
Couldn't agree more. And
find your people.
every season we have a leadership coach that we interview on the podcast as well.
Oh,
So
so cool.
maybe we missed season two, but I can't remember. But anyway, Maria Cast is a leadership coach that I've worked with a lot over the years. I believe she was in season one and spoke to, the advantage of kind of learning to listen to yourself and what she calls your inner coach and that kind of thing. But I really 100% subscribe to that concept of finding your people and your peers that you can confide in and rely on to be your kind of gut check when your inner coach, is kind of not sure, right? That you need
So
a
true.
sounding board. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So really from that, so it was building the team, Maureen. It was, doing something for myself, like leadership we was talking to about, and building those relationships on the retail side as well as the grower side. And then came I'll say the pivot. So as we were going through all these changes in the apple industry as a whole with these new varieties, and it's getting so crowded. And you're talking to people in the grocery store and you're like, what variety do you that you like? And 9 times out of 10 they say Red Delicious, and you just want to scream and you're like, look at all these other great varieties. But you can also see from a consumer's point of view, heck, from my own point of view, you go into a store and you're like, what is that? I really have to look at that. It's a bicolored red. That, well, there's thousands of bicolored reds on that shelf. And we're struggling with it as an industry. Retailers are struggling with it. Consumers are struggling with it. And so, again, going back to building the strong team, on a freelance level, I was working with a great gal, Tenley, and she is just amazing. And she came from Fresh Direct. She was working at Blue Apron, and she was doing a lot of the, shopper marketing. And I said, I need you, come to my team, because I need to cut through this noise, and I don't know how to do it myself, bluntly. I just do not know how to do it.
But you knew it had to be done, right? And even that is a unique thing to recognize that I've got to do
Thank you.
something new and different here.
Thank you for saying so. So brought her on, and we said, what are we going to do? So we came up, she and I and the team came up with Yes Apples, and we said, what we want to do is we want to build a brand. There are very few brands that one can speak of in the produce. One could argue Chiquita, one could argue Dole, Driscoll's is powerful. But New York Apple Sales, that's not a brand. Like, to a consumer, what is that? New York Apple Sales, it sounds like, I mean, anything. So we came out with Yes Apples, and what we wanted to do is we wanted to be able to talk to directly to the consumer to the best of our ability, and again, back to that trust and build that trust with them that, well, yes, it's confusing on the shelf, and yes, there's a lot out here. If you pick up that Yes Apple bag, or you pick up that Yes Apple that's loose with the peel-you sticker, it's going to be a great eating experience. You're going to be wowed. And that's what we try to do. Do we sometimes fail? Of course. But what we have is we have a vehicle now that the consumers can write us. And do they write?
Oh, really? You get a lot
They
of
can,
feedback?
yes, we do get feedback, and we get, this was great, this was incredible. Or we get something like, oh, I didn't like that, and it just gives us feedback because we have traceability in our bag. We'll go back to the consumer and we'll say, can you just read me the traceability sticker? That ties right back to our packing shed. Packing shed can tie it right back to the date it was packed. And we can say, what do your records show on that? Where did we maybe fail here? What were you seeing? So it's just a lot more accountability. But a brand also, talks to consumer. It also allows us to do really cool things. Like, for instance, back to the testing. So we do have a lot of these testing varieties that are unnamed that we have in our test block. And what we can do at each harvest is we can take out our 9-pack Yes Apples box, and we have a wonderful now email list of consumers that are talking to us and are receiving these emails. So we'll say to them, hey, we'll send you a free box of apples. Will you fill out this questionnaire? And then the questionnaire lists all the attributes, what do you like about it? Down to funny things like, what would you name it? Like, what comes to mind for a name? Do you think it's too similar to what's out there? Does it knock your socks off? Because bluntly, you cannot bring another apple variety out unless it really knocks the socks off people. It has to be spectacular. These are not the early days of just when Honeycrisp was just out. So that's really exciting that we can do. And if you don't have a brand, you can't do that. It also allows us to be in places that others, that CPG is, right? And it gets another consumer who might be now looking for a CPG product. So I'm referring to pop-up grocer. Have you ever seen pop-up
I
grocer?
don't think so.
They're these cool little shops that it's a pop-up, and they're often in New York City or Chicago or Austin, big cities. And it's mostly cool CPG brands. Maybe it's an organic offering, or maybe it's a vegan offering, or just cool different brands. And we are, well, up to this date, can't say forever, but we've been the only produce item in the stores. So we're putting our new varieties in there, the Snickers, the Evercrisp, the Sweet Tango. And you can go in and just pick. Is it selling cases upon cases of apples? No, it's not truckload sales, but it's building awareness.
Right,
And
exactly.
that's what we're trying to do, is build awareness and build that groundswell, hopefully, of interest. Because what that hopefully does is build, then they go to their Walmarts of the world and their Costcos, and they say, why don't you have Snapdragon? Why don't you have Evercrisp? And hopefully that gets reported back to home offices, and then they start buying them. And then you really get distribution. So that's a really cool thing that you can do.
I love that. The thing I want to point out for listeners and just bring back to you too, that is so unique and important, is the stress that you're putting on building a relationship with your audience. To be able to have that email list of built-in consumers and engaging with them in an above and beyond kind of way is something that, even though a lot of brands understand the importance of that, they kind of fall short on understanding how to implement it, right? Whereas I've got this list of engaged consumers, but how do I get feedback from them, right? Whereas you're taking that all the way to say, we're planning these test plots of these apples and we want feedback, and we're going to go to our own list to see what they have to say and just survey them, right? Whereas I think sometimes brands make that more complicated than it needs to be, of just ask your audience, right? And so I imagine that the what how what kind of volume are you sending out for those, and what kind of response rate are you getting?
For the samples, for the varieties. I think the last time we sent out an apple variety that's coming out of Australia. It's called right now called Saluna, and I think she sent out about 80 boxes, and I think our return rate of responses was around 50%.
That's
So
remarkable.
it's not 100, but it's not
You're
10,
never going to
right?
get 100, right? A 50% is response rate is remarkable for that kind of thing.
So,
It's really great.
yeah, that's great to hear, because I know you're absolutely in that field. So that was great. And Tenley too said, Kari, it's great, because I said, huh? Thank you.
Right, like you're thinking, why isn't it 100?
What do you mean? Why wouldn't they answer me? But
Right. Yes. Yeah, that's really great.
it's again about the grassroots. We're trying to do things like the New York Apple Association sponsors the New York City Marathon, which I think is super cool. So we've tagged on to the Roadrunners Club, and so we'll donate apples to them so that after their race they can taste our apples and hopefully talk to their friends, right? Look at what I got a free apple, that type of thing, to keep that up. And I'll be wearing just a plug here. Maureen, if you want to come cheer me on, I will be with my family running the New York City Marathon this November,
Wow, good for
wearing
you.
all my Yes Apples decked out swag that I'm sure Tinley will put me in.
Of
So,
course you will.
course she will.
Oh, that's great. I
Oh,
love
it's
that. Good
funny.
for you.
And I think
So,
I just want to say one other thing, one other
yeah.
great thing that we have done that is different, you couldn't do without a brand, is have you heard of the Evec juices?
It was
They're
you
a
read my mind. That was the
non-alcohol.
next
You
question I
don't
was
have
just
to
going to
mix
ask
alcohol
you.
with them. You can drink them as is, but they're super cool. And we partnered with them to do a Yes Apples Evec fruit Fuji rather apple and cardamom mix. And it's you can find it at Sprouts right now, and also at Wegmans. So that's kind of cool. It's putting
Yeah,
us
that's
into an
very
area where
cool.
we can't be. We're not it's
Right.
non-central center store. So.
Yep. So talk more about
Sorry, I
that
get very excited
partnership.
talking about Yes Apples.
No, that's great. Tell me more about the partnership with Evec Drinks. Like how did that come about? You know, who initiated that? What was your process there?
Tenley was seeking them out. She works, I believe, and I hope I don't get this wrong, but she works with. We hire Circle Media to do a lot of our social media work that we do. That's another way that we talk to our consumers is through a lot of different either Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and they were an also partner there. And so she looped up with the founder, I believe, of Evec, and this all came to be. And it's we've now on our third different. Or third juicing. So it's going really well, and it's super exciting
Yeah,
to
that's
have that.
fantastic. Glad to
And
hear
we're
that it's
gonna,
at Wegmans. I'll look for that next
yes,
time I'm in store.
please go check it out. Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to ask you also about something unique that you're doing too. I talk a lot about the Grow New York competition. Big fan of that as an initiative in the state of New York to attract more food and ag tech companies to the region. And you're a judge. Can you
Yes.
speak to that experience? What's that like?
That was amazing. So I was approached about 3 years ago to do it. I'm in my second year, just finished my second year. It's through Cornell and of course through the state, and it's just so interesting. I jumped at it. I was like, oh, this is just amazing. And it's all these new startups, and it can be anything that benefits central New York, right? You've got to have jobs. You should solve a solution or have a solution for a problem, potentially within the state. So a lot of times dairy. We have such a big dairy industry. I had the honor of I did abstain because I was working with but a company called Vivid Machines, who is doing this wonderful work. For counting of apples and counting of blossoms with their cameras. They won 2 years ago. It's just gosh, Maureen, what can I say about it? It's just so interesting and such great work. I'm honored that they chose me and that I've been the judge, and I'm coming back next year as well. So it's really cool.
That's awesome. I love it. Tell me about challenges. You're speaking to a lot of, ways that you've kind of innovatively solved a lot of problems or challenges that you saw in the industry in terms of, you mentioned, it was getting so crowded with all these apples that were in the store. And so you decided, I want to do something new and different. And then you worked with the team to solve that. What are some of the other challenges that you're still seeing in the industry?
Yeah, so a lot of my attention, again, very blessed that I have the team. So what I've been doing is I've been shifting a lot of my day-to-day work over to others as it should be. And I'm focusing more and more of my time on larger strategic thinking of how do I, because in the supply chain, because we're not totally vertically integrated just because of our model, because of our state. And, within our state, I should say, we have four very diverse growing regions. You have Western New York, Central New York, the Champlain region, and the Valley. And then the Valley can span anywhere from Albany down to Newburgh. So you've got all these different groups. So it's very important that every single segment of that supply chain adds value. There can't be any takers. There has to be a sharing around the chain or it will not work. So what I'm focused on right now as we go into more and more potentially of oversupply. We just have a lot of apples being grown now because, growers have proliferated quite a few apples. So what we need to do is grow consumption. And so what I need to do, and so I believe we're doing that with our good work with Yes Apples, and we'll continue down that path and talking to our consumers. But we also need to do is we need to get more efficient. So how do I basically impact the supply chain to get more efficient? So what I mean by that is I'm focusing a lot on data. So I'm investing money into, for instance, for our packing facility into ERP systems, is how do we get better software into the packing facilities so that they're operating more efficiently? And then that can flow into decreased, hopefully, the goal is decreased packing charges, more money going back to the grower base. Recently, I'm working very closely with Vivid, as I spoke about. We're going to be a New York Apple sales, investing in our growers into their orchards so that they can use her system so that blossom time, they can scan the rows and figure out how much thinning they have to do. Because thinning at blossom time is so important so that you don't have to hand thin later on because labor is so. And you asked me, all this ties back to your first question was, what are your challenges now? And we always had challenges. I'm not going to say, back when I was terming the company a sales company, that we didn't have challenges. Of course we did. They were just different. And now the challenges, because you're in it, seem even mightier and bigger, but that's the regulations, overtime rules, a escalating and never seems ending AWAR rate for our labor, for our H-2A labor. It's just non-stop. And so that's strategically, that's where I'm trying to work with my team and the grower and saying, what can I do? I can't change the market, right? The apple market is very much dictated by simple economics, which is supply and demand. Very easy to understand, harder to accept, but very easy to understand. But what else can I do? So it's a lot of it's meetings, it's talking it through, it's saying, so where can I add value? Because I want to be here forever. I have two girls that potentially come into the business. They're both at college now. I see a bright future, and I need our grower base to be there right along with me.
And I love how you're thinking so creatively about solving some of those problems too, right? That it's not, how can I directly solve the H2A labor problem? It's how can I add efficiency that is going to help benefit that challenge later in the season, right? By leveraging equipment and technology like Vivid Machines to add earlier into the season, right? That's going to benefit you down the line because you don't have to thin later on, right? So
Right, thank
you're,
you. Yeah.
yeah, due to your deep understanding of the industry, you're able to problem solve in a new and different way, which is just invaluable. I mean, you can't put you can't teach that. That comes from years and years of experience in the industry. That's not, it's something that someone new coming in can really deeply understand at that level. And so I think another reason why family organizations are so great too, because they
Excellent.
little at a time teach that, little by little throughout the process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. And
That's
it's
great.
so great to see, and a lot of our orchard partners, we've got the younger generation coming in, and it's just so exciting. You want that. You want that to continue. That's what you want.
Right.
That's
Yep.
what you need
Agreed.
and want.
All right. Last question for you. What's next? What's next for Kari and Yes Apples?
Continue down the path. Really, what's on my mind and the forefront of my mind is the investment into gaining those efficiencies. So I'm going to continue down that path. Personal level, hopefully not dying in the New York City Marathon. So maybe we could have another chat after November.
Little post update. Yep.
How I succeed. You know, hopefully watching my daughters. One's graduating out of Villanova this year. She's going to be doing investment banking in New York City. So proud to watch her grow and hopefully bring her back into the business. I should say not back, but into the business. Mm-hmm. And I have another one that's a freshman at Wake Forest. So we'll see what takes her. But it's also just continually build the team. I am always looking for great people with the same vision and passion for what we do, because bar none, the produce business is best business on the planet, certainly given me such such joy, honestly. Not without its headaches, but opportunities and just great people. So
yeah, fantastic.
Just keep pushing on.
Yep, I love it. Well, that you're adding important value to the industry, and so thanks for all of your work, and thanks for taking the time today for the conversation and sharing your story with the Spilled Salt crew.
Oh, this has been an honor. Thank you so much. Thanks, Maureen. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Spilled Salt. I'm Maureen Ballatore. For more information about the podcast, visit www.agency-29.com. If you have questions for me or you'd like to recommend a guest for a future episode, you can send a message using the contact form on the website. Like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode.